Proverbs chapter 22. Now, the book of Proverbs is unique in the Bible. There's no other one of the books in the Bible that is like Proverbs. It is full of Proverbs. We learn in elementary school that a proverb is a wise saying, all right? And so Proverbs is full of wise sayings. And Proverbs tend to be short, easy to remember, right? Are Proverbs promises? No, right? Because a proverb is a principle, it's an idea, it's wisdom, but we all know that the same wisdom does not work in every single scenario of our lives, does it? Sometimes we have to use wisdom for this situation that is going to be different than the wisdom we would use over here in this situation. So when you read through the book of Proverbs, it's, you know, sometimes the little bit of wisdom is one verse. Remember, those numbers were not originally there. They were added later to the Bible to help us kind of stay on the same page together when we're studying the Bible. So sometimes it's just one little verse. Sometimes that thought, that bit of wisdom is a few verses. Sometimes it's a whole chapter that's collected and that there's a concept that they're talking about throughout that. There's a common theme, okay? So when you study the book of Proverbs, it just doesn't read like a story. It doesn't read like one of the history books. It doesn't read like prophecy books. It doesn't read like the Gospels. It doesn't read like any of those other stories because it just feels a little broken up at times. And in fact, one of the ways that we know it is most definitely principles and not promises is that sometimes they contradict each other, right? There are literally verses in the book of Proverbs that one says, don't answer a fool because you're going to be a fool. The next verse says, answer the fool. You're like, what? Okay, now the Bible doesn't, I said contradict each other. The Bible doesn't actually contradict itself when you recognize what are you reading. You're reading principles. You're reading good ideas. So sometimes you're in a situation like, do I answer the fool? Do I not answer the fool? What is it, pity the fool? That just came up. I need more gold chains if I'm going to say that, right? All right, do I answer the fool? Do I not answer the fool? And that is when prayer and discernment come in. Right? And understanding what's actually going on in the situation. So we can't always just take one of these and say, it's always going to work. One of the hardest verses in Proverbs is it says, train a child right in the ways of the Lord. And when they grow up, they're not going to depart from it. Guess what? Your child has their own free will. And it's a good principle that we should raise our children to know the ways of the Lord. Because then they're going to have a firm foundation to always be able to stand on. But some of them will choose to walk away from it. Some will return, praise the Lord. But they also have their own decisions to make. That doesn't mean that you did something wrong if you were raising them in the ways of the Lord. It doesn't mean that that was some promise that God didn't come through for you. We're talking about principles. These are better than old wives' tales, right? But a lot of them will sometimes sound like something your grandma used to say to you. Those little sayings, these are the kinds of sayings that they don't always translate, right? If you come from a culture that, you know, your primary language at home was not English, you probably have proverbs from your culture that when you try to explain it to someone in English, it sounds ridiculous, right? I have proverbs that are from English or that are based in the English language, but because of the cultural context of where I grew up in Appalachia, they make no sense here. Sometimes when we read Proverbs from the Bible, it's from an agrarian society. So if you didn't grow up in farming, if you didn't grow up with fields around you, if you don't know what a combine is, it might not make sense to you. We discovered a lot of you don't know what a combine is. I'm sorry. I feel like I've neglected you as a rural pastor. Sorry. So today we're going to read this little section of the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, and I'm going to start with verse 8. Speaking of fields, those who plant injustice will harvest disaster, and their reign of terror will come to an end. Blessed are those who are generous, because they feed the poor. Throw out the mocker, fighting goes too. Quarrels and insults will disappear. Whoever loves a pure heart and gracious speech will have the king as a friend. Each one of these is showing this kind of back and forth balance of when you do this, this happens. When you do this, this happens. This is something that the world will often use the phrase karma. As Christians, we actually don't believe in karma. That is an Eastern tradition belief. It's part of Buddhism. They would talk about it next door at the monastery. Because in the concept of karma, there is a reality of it's going to happen no matter what, and you must go through that painful experience from it. Because notice how we never talk about karma very often when it comes to positive things. You know, we also, like, karma gets called some bad names, right? And so, because we like to think of it as, hey, they're going to get their just due, right? It's going to happen to them because that's the way they're acting, so they're going to get it back. And we like to think of it in terms of ourselves as a good thing, but in terms of somebody else, we like to think of it for them as a bad thing that's going to pay them back. And the idea with karma in Eastern belief is that it will happen no matter what in this lifetime or in a future lifetime, and that you must go through the consequences of that in order to reach enlightenment. You have to go through your process of dealing with all of your bad things in order for you to reach enlightenment. The Bible doesn't teach that. What the Bible teaches and Christianity believes is in the idea of sowing and reaping, of planting and harvesting. And there's other things that happen between what you plant and what you harvest. Because what's at the center of it all? Okay, we just sang the song. Jesus. Jesus. Because Christianity teaches, yes, you're going to go through life. It is a principle that when you sow something in, when you treat others well, you're going to be blessed for that. When you mouth off and you are the fool, you're going to receive that back. But the difference between karma and sowing and reaping is that Jesus still interacts with your life. And there are many things that you deserve to get that don't happen to you. Praise God. And there are many things that you don't deserve, but you still get that blessing. Praise God. Karma is karma is no matter what is that belief system. Well, I praise God. I don't have to believe in karma. I believe in sowing and reaping. And I believe that God is the God of the harvest. So he takes what I'm doing in my life. He teaches me lessons through it. However, there are these things called grace and mercy that get added to the soil of my life. And when grace and mercy are added to the soil of my life, then the harvest is so much better for me. When I say, God, here is my life, do with it as you will, then he can pour blessings, he can pour lessons, he can pour all kinds of things to it. And when harvest season comes, there is so much more for me and mine. And so what do I do with that? Exactly what the verses say. Then I sow it back out into others. I have more than enough for us. I can feed others when they need it. I can have the benefit of sharing the provision that God has given to me and through me to other people. I can step up for my community. I can lead in the marketplace in the right way. I can be an honor student, not just in my grades, but in my personality and how I'm represented, my character. I can be a leading force in the workplace because God puts so much into us. So why not start with good stuff? We need to choose what we're putting in to the soil of our life. We need to choose wisely what we're saying. None of this speak it into the atmosphere stuff. What am I putting into the soil of my life? those who plant injustice. We're going to harvest disaster. Because if you begin to plant injustice, you're also probably the person that puts a fence around your field and says, I don't need your help. I've got this. And nothing can get fixed there. All you're going to reap is more injustice that's going to come into your life. Your reign of terror will come to an end. But blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. Those that take the fences up, that invite people to graze. They say, come into the field, take what you need, not just for today, but for tomorrow. Throughout the mocking, the fighting goes too. Quarrels and insults will disappear. If that is all you plant, you got nothing. There will be no harvest. One of the things that you learn growing up in a rural area, like I did, and that you learn growing up in agriculture, if you or any of your family members did, is no one harvests alone. In many places, harvesting is a community event, and the farmers actually plan a schedule of which farm is harvesting when because they choose to help one another. They'll send the older kids around from place to place to help drive that thing called a combine that a bunch of y'all don't know what it is, okay? So they will harvest the fields and these different things, but the interesting things about those words, the mocking, the fighting, the quarrels, the insults, is when that is what you are putting into your field, there ain't nobody who's going to hang around. And that's why you end up with no harvest. Because what's the best harvest we have in our lives? Relationships. One another. That's the best part of our lives. But if that's all I give off, nobody's showing up. I'm not going to reap anything. Whoever loves a pure heart and gracious speech will have the king as a friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. When I am sowing graciousness towards others, when I am sowing peace into my relationships, when I have a pure heart and I'm doing things out of the right intentions, I may sometimes get it wrong, but when the purpose is there and the goal is there and the humility is there to say, hey, I screwed this up. I need to be better at this. Hey, I used to be one of the mockers and one of the fools, but now here is how I'm doing this with intention and a pure heart, the way that the Lord wants me to. And this is what I'm now sowing into this field in this season. See, isn't that beautiful? It's a new season. And every year you get a new season. This is what God does with us. With karma, you got to go lifetime after lifetime. We don't have to believe that. God gives us a new season and we can plant something new. We can build the relationships. We can harvest together. Guess what those are called? Harvest parties. Literally after they finish it, there's a giant party. That's what happens in the fall in many, many places. That's where the idea came from a harvest party. You just finished a lot of work. And you work hard together. And then you celebrate together. You celebrate the harvest, what God has done. And the amazing thing is that those parties would happen whether the harvest was plentiful or just lean that year. Because they knew that those relationships, the fact that they had worked shoulder to shoulder together, and then they were harvesting shoulder to shoulder together, then they were celebrating shoulder to shoulder together, that was the best harvest. You will have the king as a friend because people come to know those who speak well. A pure heart, gracious speech. You're known for your character. You're known for that reputation. And then doors of opportunity open in our lives that are just amazing because we reap what we sow. It's simply true. We reap what we sow. But praise God, he intervenes. He's the one that waters. Sometimes weeds grow up and he reminds us, you better fix that. Because he's the Lord of the harvest. He knows how to get the most out of our life. He knows how to take some of the bad seeds you've sown and said, hey, you need to pull that up. And the Holy Spirit talks to us, and the Holy Spirit works in our life through reading the Bible, through prayer time, through good teaching, and we learn how to cultivate our life in a good way. In Galatians, Paul wrote to a church in Galatia, and he says, God will not be mocked. What you sow, you also reap. Don't put up that fence. Don't say, I got this. I'm not listening to your version of this. I know what I can do here. I know how to make this work for myself. Because when you keep God at a distance from the field of your life, your harvest won't be great. It might be big, but it might be what you sowed in there. And I don't know if we really want that. Jesus, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 6, he was talking with them about how they were treating other people, about whether they were taking care of the poor, the orphans, the widows, their neighbors, whether they were treating others appropriately. And he said, give and it'll be given. He's talking about mercy and justice and truth, whether or not we look down on in judgment or not. Give and it will be given. And it'll be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, put in your lap. And then there's this line that says, the measure you use will be measured back to you. Basically, at times they would have things literally on scales. And there was a different set of weights beside them. And what was happening is those that were supposed to be caring for others, those that were in leadership positions, would often have these two sets of weights for the scales. And so somebody would bring in, this always reminds me of Star Wars. When Rey is like bringing up the stuff that she's gathered to the window. And what is it? What is the unit that she gets? Huh? No, well, she keeps BB-8, right? What is it? Gareth, come on, come through for me. She gets like parcels of food or whatever, you know, like, right? And one day it was supposed to be worth like this much amount, right? And another day she brings it and suddenly it's worth less. And she's like, hold on, like I should be getting way more for this, right? That's what this always reminds me of. So if you're not from like, if you've never used an app, thank you. And they would have these two sets of weights here. And so when somebody that was a friend of theirs, was a higher level individual, would come up and say, this is our harvest, and they would go to weigh and to measure that harvest for how much money they were getting or how much it was worth in trade, they would use this set of weights and they would put it up on the scales and they'd say, oh, here's how much you have, here's how much it's worth. Then they would take those off of the scale, and then when somebody else came up that was maybe from a lower caste of society or they didn't like those individuals, they would grab the weights over here and they would put those on the scale and be like, oh, that's not as much as you thought it was. And they were cheating each other. And so Jesus takes that concept of what you're harvesting, but then how you're treating one another, and he puts them together and says, however you measure for yourself, the measurement that you use for others, that's how you're going to be measured out. So you reap what you sow. So what do we do about it? We make choices every day. We make choices every day. What is our speech like? And that includes everything that involves your thumbs. What do your actions look like?
Where are your priorities in this world? Are you living generously? Are you helping to feed the poor? Are you taking care of the widows and the orphans? What are you doing to help those who have less than you? What are you doing to build peace and to build relationships and to build inroads? What are you doing to help your family live in peace together? What are you doing to help your city live in peace with one another? What are you doing to reconcile races together? What are you doing to bridging the gaps that exist in our education system? What are you doing to say there are so many people in this world who have nothing, who are refugees, who may be showing up soon? I was talking to Adam Schiff, one of our global partners, this week. He's in Sacramento. Sacramento is the number one population of Afghans in America. And they have the Sacramento Youth Center that we support on a monthly basis. And they were just asked to tutor another 90 Afghan students. Guess what? A lot of it's happening virtually. So guess what? If you want to be involved in a crisis that's going on and students that are adjusting to a whole new place and a whole new world, and you want to be involved in that, we support them monthly. But if you want to be even more personally involved, let me know. I'll connect you with Adam. Because all they know is there's going to be more. There's works in different churches and pastors I was talking with this week of refugees that are coming, and they're saying, we need to set up apartments. We need to make sure that people can have what they need so that they can sleep, so that they can feed their families, so they can get started on things. Are we willing to be about that? Or do we want to be keyboard warriors? Are we willing to speak up for what's right? Are we willing to be humble and say, you know what? I did not always get this right last year. But this is a new season. Here's the soil of my life. God's turned it over. He's added some fertilizer. That was 2020, lots of 2021. That was all that fertilizer. And now I'm planting new things. Because I believe that I reap what I sow. And with the power of the blood of Jesus over my life, I know that there's mercy for me. And I know that there's grace for me. And I'm going to keep planting. And I'm going to keep harvesting. And I'm going to keep listening to him. What do I need to pull up? Which one of this is a flower and what's a weed, Lord? I might think it looks good, but you know that it's actually not a good idea in here. Okay, all right, Lord, I need to take down these fences because there's people around me that actually need something that I have. Lord, what do I need to do next about this? God, I need some rain. Right? See, it becomes a constant conversation. Your prayer life just becomes this constant conversation about your life. Not just big, huge goals and ideas and concepts, but Lord, if you put someone in my way today, will you like put a spotlight on them so that I see it and I'm going to buy their coffee in line? And I don't need to know if it's going to make their day. I'm just going to trust you that you did that. Lord, are you going to lead me to have a couple of extra grocery cards in my pocket so that when I see somebody, I'll just slip it to them, say, here, God bless you, and walk away? Am I willing to be in that conversation and I know that they are wrong and I am right? And I'm going to zip it because I'm not going to convince them in this argument. Am I willing? Am I willing to tend my life with God's input, with God's grace and God's mercy and his instructions? Those who plant injustice will harvest disaster. Their reign of terror will come to an end. Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. Throw out the mocker, the fighting goes to. Quarrels and insults will disappear. Whoever loves a pure heart and gracious speech will have the king as a friend. As the team comes, Father, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right now, in prayer and in just this moment, Lord, we each look at our own lives. We look at the field before us and ask the simple question, what do I need to do about this, God? What do I need to do about this, God? I'm going to ask everyone to just keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. It makes nothing more spiritual. It is simply less distracting. And if right now you know that you're at a point and God's working on your heart right now, that you need the whole field just turned over. It's time to just completely redo that soil and start fresh with a new season for your life. You know that you need the forgiveness of Jesus today so that you can start new. Maybe you've grown up with some Christian beliefs, but you're not living that life right now, but that is your goal now. You desire to make those changes, allow Jesus to not just forgive you, but to lead you in a path forward. No one's looking around. If that's you, I want to be praying with you as a pastor. Will you just quickly put up your hand and put it back down? Amen. Amen. For those of you that are online, you can message the church and let us know that's you so I can connect with you and be praying with you. For others of us in this room, as we continue to pray and ask the Lord about our life, if you just know you need God to step in to the field with you, you need some instructions from Him in the coming days on things to change, on how to arrange some things in your life, would you do me the honor of letting me pray with you about that? Just raise your hand up so I'll see you. I'll be praying with you. And you can just put it back down. Amen. Okay. Okay. Thank you for your honesty. Father, we thank you for the courage of the individuals this morning who are saying, I need to turn my life over to Christ. I need to do this the Jesus way. Thank you for your faithfulness to give us the fresh start when we need it. You love us so much that the bread and the cup aren't just symbolic. They actually happened. Your body was broken. Your blood was shed on the cross. And then 3 days later, you rose from the dead to show not just the love to die, be the sacrifice for us, but the power to overcome for us again and again and again. We thank you. We listen to your instruction. We take down the boundaries. We take down the fences around our field. We promise to pray to the God of the harvest about what's going on in our lives, to take stock of our actions, of our words, of our interactions with other people, of where we're investing our finances, where we're investing our time, where we're investing our energies. And Lord, we place you at the center of it all. You get our most precious time. You get our most precious investment. We give you our gifts. We give you our talents and say, Lord, use me. However you will, use me. We thank you. We thank you that we have the opportunity to reap what we sow. And that we have the opportunity to receive your grace and your mercy in that. It's wonderful to walk your way, to do this with your input. We thank you. Will you stand with me this morning as we close in song together?